What is up, everybody? It's Friday afternoon, and that means another episode of Giles McCoy Live. That's right. It's got a new name because we have expanded our horizons, because this is the spot for everything tech, hi-fi, and gaming. And we're kicking off season three today. It's 2023 for season three with episode number 301. And joining us is the one and the only Brett Bjorkqvist from Market Maker. Brett, how are you?
I'm doing great, Giles. Thanks for having me on today. And again, I apologize for anybody that joined earlier on. I did get my hour mixed up, and we've been moving into a new place here. So like I said, I'm giving Giles the first look at my new place with no furniture. I'm literally on outdoor furniture right now, but wanted to make the time to chat with Giles and everybody else out there.
Yeah, well, man, I'm glad to have you on. And I think this is the first time we've actually talked this year as well. So it's cool to catch back up. And I think before we jump into the house and stuff, you know, obviously you're having some great success with your solo album, however you want to think about it, right? Your business venture. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you got going on and you know, what services you're providing out there in the big wide world.
Sure, absolutely. So last year, which was probably the, you know, one of the last, I think we've talked since then, but last year I actually started my new business, so Market Maker. So for those that may not know me or haven't seen me on here before, you know, I've got about 23 years in consumer electronics. So again, this is a heavy passion of mine. I always love, you know, the industry. I started out for anybody on the West Coast side at Good Guys. Running stores, programming systems, all the way back to, I would say, you know, Philips Prontos and Mitsubishi Diamond rear projection TVs. So, you know, throw me back a little bit. So, you know, from there, I've worked for a variety of manufacturers. So I kind of got pulled over to that side. I've worked on, you know, big, massive consumer products like Beats by Dre. I've worked on Kaleidoscape. I've worked at Bowers & Wilkins. We can actually see again. I may not have any furniture in here, but I do have.
You can get your Bowers.
It's all about priorities. What's the first thing I need? I need music. So, yeah. So I've worked for, you know, a variety of companies from there. Obviously, I was at Logitech and ran, you know, the custom install group. So for those of you guys with Harmony remotes. I was there as we were building it, not as they stopped it. So, just to clarify in there, of course. So right, I love them as well. But yeah, so, you know, after working for those companies, and I spent a lot of time building out training platforms, education, typically for the dealers, the integrators that you guys go visit, if you guys go visit them. So working with the manufacturers. And so I kind of said, you know, what if I went out on my own? And that way I could help more manufacturers. Some of these companies, while we look at them, they may be big, expensive products, are really small companies, right? Often led by engineers. And so they need to get the word out there. And so the idea is I can work with multiple companies instead of just one, and help them with their online education, training. And then as I expand into things, you know, I'll be doing things like survey work. So that's where, again, you know, all the people here listening, it's great, because what I want to do is I want to be able to make sure that manufacturers are hearing what the consumers really want. So like I said, I'll be creating surveys that people can register for. And then we can take that data and I can, you know, give it to the manufacturers so that they know, hey, for this type of product, you know, this is the feature set that they're looking for. And hopefully it creates a little bit more of a, you know, of a bond between, especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
The CI products and the consumers, because I've always said, you know, none of these CI products exist if it's not for the consumers buying them, right? It's people like us that are passionate for it. You know, whether we're talking about a Kaleidoscape product or, you know, whatever it is, you know, oftentimes we're obviously looking at higher end products, the Turnoffs and the Storms and things like that. But, you know, really any of these companies, it's making sure that they get all the feedback needed. So, you know, I think it's something that benefits the industry. It's something that benefits the consumer, you know, and if it allows me to continue to enjoy, you know, my passion for this industry, then, you know, I'm all for it. And it's been going well.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear that things are working out. Mike is commenting, says, man, that fireplace is phenomenal.
You like that? Thank you. It's
dude, it's you must have a stunning new pad you're putting together over there.
It is pretty cool. So I will say, it's hard because I, typically don't flaunt your house. but you're
dude, if you got it,
house, right? It's like, I need to show off my theater, right? I'm adding new speakers. I've watched videos of you. And it's the same thing. So I think this is one of those times where, I took the opportunity. So we actually moved. So I've been in San Mateo. So it's like the North Bay area of, California forever, right? In between San Jose and San Francisco. And so we actually closed on this house a little bit ago, and we're just starting to move in. And so we're up in Sacramento now. So if anybody is Northern California, but I'm using the opportunity. So, my wife will come up. She's a teacher. So she's going to have a new spot up here. My daughter's graduating high school in June. So that's where we're officially going to move up. But we took the opportunity to, take a bigger house, in all reality. And I want to be able to show people. So again, as we're talking about kind of educating and this and that, my goal is to be able to show a few different topics. So, obviously we've got some room in here. I've got a room that's never been developed, that's over the garage. So it's a little off in terms of size. It's 11 feet wide. And then it's got a barrel ceiling where it's got the sides angled.
Yeah.
So it's 8 foot at the top and only 6.5 foot at the low point.
Yeah. I know that's interesting for Atmos and everything.
Yeah. So, it's not prime for a theater, but this is what we live with, right? I mean, this is, and I think for a lot of people, it's, well, do I not do anything or am I happy? So there's a lot of things that we're able to do with it. And so I'm going to actually, we love, and I always love watching install videos, yours and, and people going around with it. I'm going to show the full destruction of the room all the way through the build out. I will have my good friends over at KYD, so Keith Yates, who I know you've had on, and Andrew, helping me out. So, like I said,
I hate you already.
I know. What can I say? Right. So, I hate you already. So I will be doing a lot of free work.
That's awesome.
For Keith in order to pay for that. But the idea is obviously, he builds these amazing systems, right? And a lot of them are obviously prohibitive for most of us, in the $500,000 to $2 million plus range. But he's got this great new Alpha program, and it's really designed, I think he's talked about it a little bit, but
I think he talked about that when he was on.
Yeah. So, you're still really talking about 50 grand. So it's not, it's not a small amount. But the work that you get for it is absolutely amazing, And so what I'm trying to get them with this house to see is, hey, if you had a house that's, it's not brand new construction, like a lot of his systems, and clients have, it's not, it's here's the existing room that I have. What can we do with it? What can we do to make sure that the acoustics are right and that things sound good? And again, for the room, for what it is. So we'll be doing that. I think I haven't picked any products yet. But I've also been talking with another gentleman. I don't know if you know Anthony Grimani, who does similar designs and does, he actually has some new speakers that he's put out. It should be a good opportunity for people to see some great product and more importantly, why we're picking the products. So we'll kind of talk about that. In addition to that, we're going to be doing some full home audio, at least in about half the home. So they did not wire for a lot of speakers in this place, which kills me because I got to have audio and sound everywhere, right? So
that's right.
So we'll be setting some of that stuff up. So I'll be showing how to put in, various products, either multi-channel amps or something like a Sonos. So like I said, we'll be doing that in some of the different rooms. I'll be installing ceiling speakers. I just picked up, that's why I was late in here or thought I was on time. But so I was just over at Custom Plus, which is a local distributor to me. And so they helped me out with some products. So I just picked up a new frame TV. So I'll actually show how to install a frame, which nice. I think, did you do that before too? Don't you have?
Yeah, yeah, I've done a
one in your kitchen area or something, right?
Yeah, the 2021 version, right?
Okay.
And you're hopefully you have a 2022 because it is
I do.
So much better than the 2021.
Yes.
It is a big deal.
And so, so we'll be doing that right now. It's going to be installed in my family room because I don't really have a whole lot and we need, you know, outdoor seating and some sort of TV there. Sure. So like I said, it'll be there, but then ultimately it'll go into a guest room, mounted up on a, you know, up on the wall. And then, you know, we want to do some stuff like lighting control. So, you know, this house, is 5,600 square feet. It has well more than.
Here's the flex.
I know. Rawr! I know.
that's super cool, man.
But I'm out in Sacramento. What are you going to do?
I'm going to come visit you is what I'm going to do.
Well, you, Giles,
I want to see it.
You are always invited. You make your way out here. I've got for the first time ever. So like I said, I came in the Bay Area, right? Which was, you know, we had about 1800, 1900 square feet, which is good size by all, you know, by
all. Oh, dude, in the Bay Area, that's a mansion. What are you talking about?
Unfortunately, I know the people that live in the mansions and they're a lot bigger than mine. Yeah, but yes, for, you know, but for the area, it was great, right? But, you know, small patio backyard, you know, and all that. And obviously I wired every square foot of that house. So we actually rebuilt a lot of it. And so, you know, it was great, but I had all my light switches in there. So I had Rachi Select stuff, you know, in that one, you know, and as well as some, you know, Philips Hue and different things like that, you know, some Ring cameras. And so we're going to kind of do some of the same stuff here, but, you know, again, I want to show people like there's rooms in here where there's literally 7 light switches.
Mm-hmm.
So just that, you know, when you come over, Giles, how the hell do you know which which switch that you're going to use, right? I mean, there's just no good way to be able to do that. And so, you know, I want to be able to show how, you know, products, and it really doesn't matter, Leviton, Lutron, whatever, you know, but, you know, or even going to the control plan, you know, the control fours and things like that.
Yeah, Savant or whatever. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to build it out because, you know, we're already sitting here as we're moving in, and every time you want to turn on a light, you have to hit 5 of them to figure out which one controls the one that you want, right? You know, and so, so I think we'll, you know, we'll do some lighting control, the front yard and the backyard for as much time. So the people I bought this from, designed it about 10 years ago. So the owners were the designer and the builder. And so, and that's what he did for a living. So this was like his demo house to show how to build his houses, right? Nice. So the inside is beautiful, but you go look out front or you look out back, there's no lighting control at all. So when it's dark, it is like pitch black out there.
Right.
And that just doesn't make sense. So, you know, so we'll do some outdoor lighting. You know, we'll do the indoor lighting. We'll do a control system in here, which will probably be control 4, but we'll take a look. And then we'll do some security systems in here, probably with Ring. So, you know, again, my goal was if I bought a house that was a little bit bigger, that needed some, like the house doesn't need work, but the electronics and stuff do, there's nothing in here. Sure. It's a perfect opportunity for me to look at that from an education standpoint and say, oh, let's create some videos that show people not just why they like it, or, you know, here's a use video of Ring, you know, but how do you actually install this? Should I feel comfortable with doing electrical in my own house? So, you know, so like I said, we'll go through a lot of that kind of stuff. And I think it'll be a good time.
I think that's awesome, man. The lighting stuff. I remember when I did this house, mm-hmm. and I don't know. You can. So I did all these, right? And these are all automated, and it's through the whole house. And it's a really fun project to do, because then after that you can really come up with some great control scenarios, right? Yes. But what gets trickier, the 3-way lights, or if you have like some super fancy like 4-way or something crazy like that. Because, you know, what you end up doing is taking the 3-way and turning it into a master with 2 remotes.
Yep.
Right. And you have to figure out the correct wiring.
Yeah.
And,
so you have to know the right way to do it.
And so it's,
one gets turned off, it can affect the other ones. And...
Exactly. Yeah. So it gets a little tricky, but I always say if I can do it, everybody else can do it. And, you know, I think this will be great for you to show people that, yeah, you can install all this great stuff and you can do it. And it's not super crazy, right? It's accomplishable.
Yeah, you know, take it piece by piece and go through there. And so yeah, you know, like I said, I think it's great. You know, I always love, you know, various, you know, forums where people are talking about product, but you know, sometimes people, they need a little bit, you know, how do I do this? It's a daunting thought process, right? You know, how am I going to replace 100 switches, which is a lot. So, you know, but maybe it's starting with five. Maybe it's, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, lighting control, once you put it in, and, you know, my wife and my daughter are prime on this, you know, every time I start throwing something in, it's, do we really need this? you know, do we need the lights? I mean, I go all the way back to X10 lighting. You know, again, right? So my first lights were X10s, but I remember putting them on a URC remote. And I don't know if I've said this one before, but so I put them in and I installed our first lighting right about the time where my daughter was born.
Right.
And so, you know, my wife would always be kind of like, do we really need this? You know, what are you doing now? You know, light switches work. I can obviously, I can get up and walk and push the button, right?
Right.
And, but I remember her, you know, I was coming home late. And so I remember her telling me one time, oh, this was actually really cool because she just took the remote. She was sitting down. Our daughter finally, you know, kind of fell asleep and passed out. And so, you know, so now my wife wants to relax and she's like, oh, the porch light's not on. And so, you know, she grabbed the remote and she hit the porch button and the light turns on. And now I've got a light when I come home. And, you know, then she dimmed the lights without having to get up in the, you know, in the family room that she was at. And then obviously the remote turned on the TV. And so, you know, I think it's once you start learning those few things, it becomes that convenience becomes something that you really, really enjoy. You know, and obviously we've, you know, bypassed X10. you know,
yeah, that's many moons ago.
You know, a little bit ago. And so, you know, as we've gone into, like I said, in our old house, Lutron Rotu Select, so like a cassette, but you can do more lights. And so, you know, when we did that, and then I partnered up with Voice Control. And now, you know, everybody enjoys it, right? You know, you can turn the kitchen lights off when you're sitting down and, you know, watching TV, you can, you know, turn the hall lights on or off and, you know, now you don't even have to push a button for my porch lights because they go with the sun. Yep. So, you know, I set it up so that at sunset they turn on or 10 minutes after sunset, you know, and then they go off at 11 o'clock. So there's so much cool automation that people don't always know. You know, even when I was at Logitech, we used to talk a lot about like Philips Hue bulbs because I love the color control, right? You know, and again, they're not inexpensive bulbs, but you can do so much with them. They really have a backend platform that works. And so, you know, I've always loved being able to, you know, set up different rooms for different scenarios. You know, it's you know, we did one, I remember with when I was at Logitech. So we set it up. So if you hit the Xbox button, all the lights in the room turned green. So they kind of went on with the, you know, cool. And so, you know, there's just so much cool stuff in there that you can do. And so I'm super excited to be able to not only get this house built out the way that we want it, obviously personally, you know, but share that insight and education with people so that, you know, if they are on the fence or they're not sure, hey, can I do this myself or what can I do with this? I mean, we used to find people all the time, you know, they put Philips Hue bulbs and they're just glowing white or they're glowing one color. You know, I change mine in my front yard. So my porch lights, and then I've got like ground cover lights and I change them with everything. Right. So
yeah, with the holidays, right?
Yeah. You know, so it's like, hey, right now they're going into like pink and red for Valentine's Day at Christmas time. Right. I, you know, they'll go green and red. You know, summertime, I'll change them up and, you know, Easter and, you know, it's just, it's fun. It changes it up a little bit. You know, we always get people walking by saying, you know, hey, I love that, you know, that everything's lit up well. So there's a safety side of it. And then there's kind of the fun side of it, you know, so.
That's awesome. You know, I was at CES earlier this year and the number of new light control device manufacturers is staggering. And the units they have now are just amazing, right? You know, you don't have to have what looks like a traditional Decora light switch, right? With the rocker.
Yep.
I mean, I saw maybe five or six different manufacturers making nice LCD versions that just are gorgeous. Right. Yeah. And, you know, they have motion sensors and all kinds of stuff built in. So, I mean, you know, there's no limit to the possibilities these days on that kind of technology.
Oh, it's so cool. You know, and people will get concerned and right. You know, how, you know, do you buy this? I think so many people, and Lutron's a great company, but people buy it because they're kind of the king, right? They're the 800 pound gorilla in that scenario. But, you know, by me in San Mateo, there's actually Brilliant AV. And so, or Brilliant. And so, you know, the light switches they do where you can actually put on the, it's got a touch keypad and then you can actually, you know, and then it's got, you know, lights for loads, but you can actually have the light switch control your Sonos instead, or, you know, it ties in with Ring. So you can actually see your front camera and, you know, you can close the camera, but you can use it for, you know, an interface as like an intercom. So, you know, you're watching this technology where, you know, people have had this technology, right? You know, the old school intercoms and this and that, but if I can build it all into one that has Alexa built into it, that, you know, you know, that I can just talk to, so I don't need an extra little, you know, a cube or, you know, or a dot or, you know, depending on your flavor, you know, that's nice to have. You know, and, you know, people can understand if I can tap it when I walk into a room and have access to my Sonos playlist, so then I can just start music going. I think those are things that it's a luxury that usually is reserved for the high end, right? I'd have to do a ton of programming to be able to do this.
That's right.
And you've got these manufacturers that are coming out and they're simplifying it. You know, they're making it so that the average consumer could do a DIY or, you can get a less expensive integrator to come out, right? Because you can do it faster. You know, I don't need a week and a half to put in lights. Yeah. I can, you know, I can get it done in a couple of days or a day. You know, I can put a doorbell cam. I can do, you know, all these things that used to be prohibitively expensive. And now for $150, you know, you've got a doorbell cam that, you know, that works reliably. So yeah, you know, like I said, I'm excited for what it's able to do. And like I said, I love showing people like, oh, so you put this stuff in, why don't we take advantage of it? Right. Cause again, a lot of consumers don't know, oh, how do I set these things up? How do I make it so my Lutron lights, it's great that I can control them or use an app, but what if I can automate them, true automation, you know, where they go on at a particular time and they follow the sun, or, you know, you get into the higher end stuff like Lutron Ketra, and you can actually change the, you know, the Kelvin rating of the light.
Right.
So you can change it to go through the day. Right. So
it should be warm and bright. Much
cool technology. Yeah. You know, and so I don't want to just look at the big high end stuff. I want to look at that as well. But I really want to be able to take a look at what's that mid range stuff. What's the stuff that could be done DIY, or what some people call, you know, DIFM, do it for me.
Right.
But doesn't always require the ultra high end, you know, programmers and installation. And then we can talk about some of those things too, because I definitely have some great integrators and we'll be doing some stuff around here. So,
yeah, I've always had heartburn around, those type of control systems where it's built in, to make it sticky for the integrator, where you have no choice. Right.
Yep.
So, you know, like, you know, in the older days, Crestron, Control 4, Savant, all that stuff, you can't do anything with it, right? It's a black box, and you pay somebody some money, they come put it in, and you have what you have. But if you want to grow or change, it's a service call.
And for anything, right? Oh, I swapped a DVD player. Oh, there's a new Apple TV, or, or I swapped that over from a Fire Stick, or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that holds a lot of people off of it, right? Like, so I can understand the first integration round. But if I have in my head that, you know, I change my DVD player from a Sony to a Panasonic or an Oboe, you know, and into something new, and now it's going to cost me $300 or $400 on top to program it, then that doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, what I will say, and I like this, and I know a few integrators that have been doing this, but, you know, most of those systems now, so if you go back even 5-8 years ago, you had to be on site. And so a lot of that charge was that you had to pay for a guy to roll a truck out to come
out.
Right. Right. And realistically, like any company, they'd rather be doing a whole new install than reprogramming your Sony DVD player, you know, which is why it usually ends up being a little bit more. But for a lot of these products now, they can program them remotely. And I know a few integrators that are doing that. So, you know, if you're coming in and, you know, it's like, hey, it's Giles is well aware of how to unplug the old DVD player and plug the new one in. You know, and you know, obviously what the model number is, if it's IP or if you have a little IR blaster on it. And as long as you set it up physically in your room, they should be able to log into that system and, you know, reprogram it in 20 minutes. If we're just, you know, depending on what it is, how integrated it is with, you know, different scenes and scenarios. But for the most part, I think that does open it up where, you know, if I can tap in from a Crestron Home perspective or a Control 4 perspective, now I don't need to charge as much because I could be in my office or I could be on another job site or I could be at home after, you know, mm-hmm. after the day and just say, okay, Giles, you're all set up. Here you go. 20 minutes later. And now maybe you're only getting charged a half an hour bill, right? Which is going to be far more realistic. So I do hope because I obviously I am a proponent of, you know, of true integrators. You know, they've learned their craft just like an electrician or a plumber, and they really have to pull in all those different things, right? Because it isn't just the TV now. I want to pull in my HVAC. You know, I want to be able to control that so that things are automated. You know, I want to be able to, and you know, and even where you know, I if a water heater explodes or something like that, I can actually shut off the water.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how amazing is it if, you know, something actually happens and, you know, something's leaking and it can detect the leak and shut off the main valve without you even being home. You know, those are things that, again, obviously I see that for the guy who's got his third house in the Aspens and, you know, and that's all great, but really I could use that in my home, right? Anybody can use that in their home.
I have often thought of that one, the water, myself, because I'm really paranoid about that. You know, of course, that one I would want to pay someone to come in as they're cutting in into that water main.
You got it, into the pipes and everything else, right?
Yes. I'm not touching that.
That's all you need is the phone call afterwards. It's like, yeah, you know that pipe that you put together? Yeah, it didn't work. But yeah, I mean, you know, water is crazy, right? You know, I mean, when things happen and things, I know multiple people who've had, you know, especially if it's a two-story and, you know, the bathroom leaks upstairs and they end up flooding the house, you know, it's, you know, and especially if they're gone, it always seems to happen when you're gone for the weekend or doing something, but, you know, those are things that are important for every homeowner. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that, like you said, I'm probably not even going to mess with the pipe. But I may actually do a segment on that and bring out a plumber and then have them show you, right? You know, or, you know, bring in an electrician. I'm told I haven't met any of my neighbors yet, but I'm told I have an electrician, a realtor. I think I heard a plumber, a fireman, you know, all around the corner. So, you know, I think it might be fun to kind of bring some of those people in and say, okay, you know, am I doing this right? One, you know, what are the tips and the tricks on this kind of stuff?
Whoa, there are already people coming to see it.
I've never heard a doorbell ring here, so I'm not going to get it. We'll see if my wife gets it, or it's probably some deliveries. Like I said, we came up this weekend because we had house deliveries coming in. So
it's probably the neighbors like, who's breaking into the house?
That's right. We got here at like 11:30 last night, so I'm sure there was somebody like, the house has been empty. Why are people coming in now?
If you hear the bang, 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 open up police.
That's right.
You should probably go at that point.
When I get stuck and I'm arrested at my house over the first weekend, but
that's right.
So like I said, I'm super jazzed for it. There's a ton of projects that I know I'm going to be doing here. And so, you know, just like you and so many others that I've always watched and, you know, followed and loved, you know, I want to be able to help out as well. So, you know, like I said, we'll do some stuff. I'll probably, you know, be kicking off a YouTube channel of my own where I can.
I was going to ask for people to be able to. What does that look like? Yeah, do you have that yet? Or
so we will see. I'll tell you what. Let's get your opinion on this right now. So I need to pick a name, right? You know, as you look at the names for your YouTube channels and this and that. Market Maker is great because that's my business, but that's really serving the manufacturers, right? You know, as I help them to build their markets. Education, training, you know, things like that. So I'm trying to figure out, do I put it under Market Maker? Do I make something a little bit more consumer focused? Because really it's more consumer focused when I make these videos. So I thought about FAQN Home Theater or FAQN Technology, My Technology.
Right.
Which if you think through it is fucking technology,
right?
FAQing, right? So do I go big on it? Is somebody not going to like that? I don't know. I you've been doing this for a while, Giles. What's your thought or what's anybody that's on here's thought? So you have fun with it, you know what I mean? Or, or do you try to make it a little bit more professional and do something like, industry installer?
Here's the thing, right? So naming your channel is pretty, it's a pretty big deal, right? Yep. Because, you're going to name it and you're going to build branding around it and all that piece, right? And I've renamed my channel like 3 times, right? Because I feel like I've never gotten it right. And I finally got to the point where, okay, I don't want to pigeonhole myself into any certain niche of technology, right? Because, from my point of view, my channel is just all about the stuff that I like to play with, right?
Sure.
I tried to come up with the most broad umbrella that wasn't too broad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I have to limit myself to 3 different descriptors. So what can it be? And so, technology, hi-fi, and in those 2, I include home theater and then gaming, right? Because that I like to do a lot of tabletop as well as electronic gaming. So, and I couldn't think of a name that was broad enough for that. I could have called it the Technology Hi-Fi and Gaming Channel. But another aspect of any social media channel really is growing a community. And I Mike's watching and I know he understands the challenge there. So I just decided, okay, well, it's just a channel about the stuff that I like to deal with. And hopefully there are enough people that identify with the things that I like. So I made it my name, right? So
yeah, fair enough.
Then you come and you get what you get. Don't throw a fit. What's better than that, though, is if you can be more specific and stay inside of a niche, niche, and then have a name that reflects that niche, right?
Yeah. And that's where I've gone back and forth, because part of me, similar to like what you're saying, so, if you look at my stuff, it's electronics, technology, right? And then you get into, for me, it's cars. So, track and racing stuff, because I like to do a lot of that. So I figured, why not talk about that? Right. Again, like you said, it's more of a lifestyle piece, right? Who's out there that enjoys what I enjoy, and maybe they only like one piece of it, but they watch something else and maybe that gets them into it. Right. So even for me, I've always liked cars, but track stuff has only been probably in the last 5-6 years. And I got that from another friend of mine. So, and that's, again, just like technology, that's one of those things that's kind of scary. Yo, what am I doing? Does this make sense? I'd love to do this. I've got a nice car. I've got this or that. I'd like to take it out. But, how hard is that to do, to actually put it out on the track? So I figured, again, kind of demystifying some of that stuff. And then, maybe looking at some of the bourbons and whiskeys and stuff like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think they all go together. So.
So you're like, it should be, you should name your channel BB's High-End Lifestyle.
Ooh, I see. There you go. So,
and then everybody will start calling you BB.
BB. I get BB sometimes. I get WB. I get, a few of them when it comes in with the B on the both sides. So, but no, I like that. Cause that's, that really is what it is, right? And if I look at my favorite forums and things that I'm on, I picked up one. So I've never, again, looking at the same thing. So I have in my San Mateo house, so my existing house, I had a 1-car garage, but like most people, it's filled with storage stuff because there's not enough room in the house, right? So here it's a 4-car garage. So I'm pretty jazzed for that. And I'll have a section that's mine for, again, any woodworking and building and
Shop.
And stuff like that. Yeah. So it'll be a true little shop in there. Again, all these projects, it'll take a little bit of time to get them all done. But yeah, I love the idea of being able to share those experiences with people. And so I've got there's a forum that I'm on. It's average middle class garage goals. Okay. You see some of these and there's like a guy's got a helicopter in the room and, some of these are not average middle class. But it's fun to see them, right? And then at the same time, other people are like, hey, I've got, 1-car, 2-car. What do I do with this? But there's questions on like, how do you do an epoxy floor? Is it worth it? Can you do it yourself or do you need to pay somebody to do it?
That's how I do it. I pay somebody else to do it.
But I love doing both, right? So I love getting hands-on and building the stuff myself, programming the stuff myself. Not just for a savings of money, but to understand the process, right? Mm-hmm. But I watch people like on the epoxy floor stuff and people lay their own, But when the tires get hot, they'll actually peel up the epoxy.
Yeah.
And that sometimes that's because they're using a consumer version of an epoxy, right? Or that's it's right. not cured right, or it's not thick enough, or whatever it is. And so I think those are the things that people, again, for myself even, like, I want to know what's the right way to do this, or what are my options in both sides? You know, or do you go with something else? I found, you know, when you start looking at what it costs for an epoxy, I found it's like an engineered tile, right? So,
right.
And it looked beautiful. You know, I saw some pictures of it and this and that, and they're like, I'm like, hey, I could lay that, you know, into a garage. But then it's like, you need to have a flat garage, because if you built one that maybe has a drain and so it funnels down, uh-huh. Then they're not going to lay right. Right. So, You know, there's lots of stuff that's in there. And so, you know, I just want to kind of be able to say, okay, you know, if I'm going to do these things myself, I love chatting with people and educating people on the stuff, you know, why not take a look at it? And maybe it is BB's high-end lifestyle. I will have to see if that's taken. Probably not. But I think that makes sense versus just going technology, which, like you said, I've known you since the home theater enthusiast side, but, you know, I can understand wanting to talk about other stuff and, you know, pulling it into your whole world. Right.
So absolutely. Yeah. And Part of it is I just get bored. Right. And I want to do new things.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity to be able to do that without people saying, well, your channel's called Home Theater This Thing, and why are you doing a electronic chess set that moves the pieces by itself, right? Because I'm going to do a video on that here pretty soon, because It's awesome and I love it.
I'll watch it.
I want to be able to.
Anyway,
okay, so we're closing out on our time now. Yep. The new format is about half an hour. If anybody has any questions, now's the time to get them in, and we'll run through them quickly. But, you know, real fast, You're here on Giles McCoy, my YouTube channel. I still have Home Theater Fanatics over on Instagram, and I also have The Giles McCoy on Instagram as well. So go check those out. Make sure that you're subscribed here. When BB's high-end lifestyle comes out, we'll put a link down below to that.
And there you can go
check that out. Now, Market Maker, if people want to find out about Market Maker, where do they find out about that at?
Sure. So you can go to my website, which is marketmaker.com. So again, no vowels in there, you guys. So it's marketmkr.com. If you have a question for me or have any input for me, maybe you have a great YouTube name that you think I should use or anything like that. I always love catching up with everybody. So you are always welcome to text or email me at Brett. So Brett at marketmaker.com. And like I said, always happy to chat. Like I said, if people have questions, you know, on technology, anything, theaters, lighting, you know, control systems, anything like that, I'm always happy to answer questions, or introduce you, depending on where you live, to an integrator if you want one, you know, or talk about some of the DIY options that are in there for products as well. And then, yeah, as soon as I get a channel up, I will be sure to let everybody know, you know, and appreciate any support from that perspective, Giles, because like I said, I think, you know, your groups are great, you know, for all the people that hang out in your areas. You've done a great job moderating. Obviously once I get set up, I'll have you on mine.
Absolutely.
Happy to do it. But yeah, you know, like I said, I'm excited to be able to do it. So like I said, if you need help, if you're a manufacturer or consumer or an integrator, you know, who wants help with education, online education, so LMS systems and things like that is a lot of what I do, then that's fine. If you have questions on general technology, more than happy to answer them. And yeah, look forward to seeing all your new shows on the new format this year, Giles. So I'll definitely be checking that out. And then, once I get my setup, I'd love to have anybody join me and subscribe as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, and like you said, for my new show, it's going to be Fridays at 2 p.m. Mountain time.
I like that. Mountain time. Okay. So one o'clock. I remember that. 1 o'clock.
And 4 o'clock Eastern. So we have just a handful of comments to run through here. So, you know, I wanted to call out Mike, my buddy here in Colorado. He loves the fireplace.
Thank you, Mike.
Jeremy was here. He popped in for a second. Just wanted to say hi. Sweet. And he looks forward to seeing the theater. And once everything's done and you've got your content done, I want to come in and sit down in my first MKB. Did I say that right? No. Yes, KYD, Keith Yates Theater. It's his name. I should get it right.
Yeah.
I've never listened to one before. So that would be pretty outstanding. And I'd love to show people that as well. And then Snake Dude 61. We have one technical question that has, it's unrelated to anything else we talked about, but here we go. Is 5.26 worth it if I can't put rears, just to give the back row something? 5.26 is, that's a lot up top without a lot down low. Personally, if I were going to do 5.26, but he says there's back row. There is a back row. Yeah, I would try and find some way to for sure get 7 bed channels with 2 rows.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to look at the same. I mean, it's, you know, getting your Atmos, you know, your effect speakers up top is great. And if he's got a back row that, you know, at least gives the speakers, I understand that. But, you know, I have to agree, having bed speakers, you know, either on the side or behind, you know, really is the base layer of anything that you're watching in a movie. You know, right. So really that, you know, that becomes the important piece, I think, with Atmos. You know, a 7.2.2, you know, sounds good. A 7.2.4 is, you know, even better. You know, but continuing to add, you know, upper effects without the beds, I think, is always difficult. You know, and you know, so many people, we get caught up in a lot of speakers. You know, but I still love, I mean, my old place. I still have, you know, 5.1. You know, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, good speakers, good placement, and good acoustics is really, you know, where the core starts. And when you build from there, if you have the room as good as you can, you know, then adding those additional speakers, you know, is great, but, you know, kind of becomes the, you know, the icing on it. You know, I've heard speakers that have, you know, 14 speakers in a room, but it's not acoustically tuned. It just doesn't sound as good, right? You know, and so I think those are the, you know, the only things that I would look at from there. You know, Atmos speakers are great. So if you have the space in the ceiling, I'm assuming maybe there's an opening on the side or something in there that's prohibiting from being able to get something in the back. But you know, take a look, and then obviously there are electronics, you know. You know, obviously we've seen, you know, Dirac and, you know, on the Storm side and Trinov is coming out with stuff. So on the higher end side, obviously, but, yep. You know, do what you can with, you know, whatever optimization system, depending on what kind of AVR you have, you know, to try to help with those back speakers or put them on stands. I mean, you know, again, mm-hmm. you look at the stands on here, they don't look that bad. You know, I mean, it's something where, you know, it's nice if you can kind of hide them or this or that, but if you can put speakers, and maybe if you have carpet in the room or have some sort of control where you can kind of run the cables, you know, underneath, I know plenty of people that will, you know, just put speakers literally on the side of the couch or behind the couch or, you know, something yep. like that. So that would be my only other recommendation, but similar to you, Giles, is, you know, do whatever you can to get the beds. The beds are so important. Atmos is great, but you know, the beds are what gives you a truly solid, you know, theater experience.
Yeah. And just as a point of information for folks, just to talk about how things have evolved for me. So, you know, I have a rather small theater and it's a single row, it's 4 seats wide. And you know, I had built it up to where it was a 9.6.4, right, environment, which is a lot. And I've pared that down to 7.3.4 now. And I'm much happier with the way things are turning out by removing those front wides and consolidating subs down to make the room less cluttered, if sure. that makes sense, right? Because, you know, this is like a retrofit room. So, you know, I'm not able to build subs behind the screen or put them in the walls and stuff. So the only place I have is either to, I could hollow out the ceiling, I suppose, but I've not done that. So they're just boxes sitting on the floor, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, to me, it kind of, when the boxes, you've got like 6 refrigerators in there.
Yeah.
It kind of takes away from the experience. So, you know, more is not always better. Having the right stuff is always better.
Nope. Totally agree.
Cool. All right. I think with that, we're going to go ahead and call it. Everybody out there, thank you so much. Look forward to the upcoming new time shows, right? So the world has changed and Friday is now the day. Look forward to seeing everybody at that time. And Brett, please keep me updated because I want you, you know, if you want me to share pictures and stuff as you go through before you get your channel set up, let me know. I'm happy to dump all that stuff up onto the web and link back so people can find you. So happy
to do that. No, I appreciate it, Giles. Thank you to everybody. And have a great weekend. This is I love this new time slot now that I know what it is.
Right on. Thanks so much, everybody. Take care. See you in the next one.
Bye-bye.